Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Everybody, I'm Greg Giamborisi. Welcome back to our latest episode, Spring Training Underway. But today, we're going to throw it back in time. We're going to go back 13 years, 2011 Blue Claws. They were the Lakewood Blue Claws, of course, back then. And catcher Cameron Rupp, who was drafted by the Phillies the year prior, in 2010, he had a really nice blue season with Jersey Shore, Blue Claws, I should say, that season, and ended up making a big league debut a couple of years after that. He hit his first big league home run off CC Sabathia in Yankee Stadium in 2015, so we talk about that as well. It was really cool to have a throwback conversation with Cameron, who played through the 2020 season. He said he took a couple of years off, worked on his buddy's ranch in West Texas. He's a Texas guy, went to the University of Texas. And then last year went back, got his degree, and worked as a student assistant there at Texas, which he talks about, and that has led him to Blinn College and the start of his official coaching career. He's a coach down there with Blinn. Their season actually is already underway. So it was a lot of fun to talk to Cameron, throw it back, and I think you'll enjoy this episode of Hook, Line, and Splitter. So we turn it over to former Blue Claws catcher Cameron Rupp. 2011 Blue Claws catcher Cameron Rupp. Hard to believe you were here 13 years ago. How you been?
Man, time flies. It's been good. It's been it seems like it was just yesterday.
What do you remember most about your time with the Blue Claws?
Well, it was my first year as a professional baseball player in the South Atlantic League and in New Jersey, and I didn't really understand that. but we were so far north, and everybody else is in North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia. Those were not terrible rides, but the ones when we went farther south down to 14-hour rides to Hickory and wherever else it was down there, that's one of the first things I remember, was how long some of the bus rides were, and I was told about them, but you don't really you don't really understand until you experience it. But Lakewood is a place that'll be very special to me, just because it was my very first full season in professional baseball. It was kind of where I first started my career.
The first weekend of that season, played on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and then had a rainout on Friday and a rainout on Saturday, and then in game one Sunday, so it's your second game, you caught all 16 innings in a game that you ended up losing 2-0. Do you remember that?
Yeah, against Kannapolis.
You got it.
Yeah, I remember that now. And that was, I think we got beat 2-0. They hit a homer late in the late in the 16th inning, I guess. And yeah, I remember
it was no score through 15, and they hit a home run in the 16th inning off of Hector Neris.
No, Neris, what are you doing, man? now you're doing big things, winning World Series and still playing, and I'm just a junior college coach.
So let's talk about that. We'll get to your playing career in a little while, but what are you doing now?
So now this is my first year as an assistant coach at Blinn College down here in Texas. We are directly in between Houston and Austin, home of Bluebell Ice Cream, which everybody loves. It's a 2-year school. We've got a good ball club. They finished fourth in the country last year. So I'm joining to a group of guys that are coming off a successful season and hoping to build off of it. We started last week. We're 3-1 and about to get the ball rolling this weekend.
I forget that the colleges start so early.
Yeah. Well, junior college is even earlier. Our first game was supposed to be January 27th, and we ended up getting rained out and ended up moving it from a Saturday to a Monday. And we even got rained out last weekend in Baton Rouge, but hopefully this weekend we can get all four in.
So, I know Don Baylor played there. Josh Beckett played there. Who are some of the other alums of recent vintage?
You know, I don't really know.
I know the. I know we've seen players that have come through here. Yeah. So you were at you were a student assistant last year at Texas, your alma mater.
Yes.
What was that like? When did you kind of decide that you wanted to pursue a coaching career?
Well, I think that's always kind of what I wanted to do. Following my career, it's been 2020 was my last year. I was at the alternate site during the COVID season with Cleveland, which was just crazy. I think it was crazy for everybody too. But I was kind of on the edge of being ready to hang it up and move forward, and wasn't sure. And it was, I start, you know, you have to start thinking about it. Obviously, I didn't play long enough or make enough money to be set for life, which is completely fine. And, baseball is a part of me, and it's always been a part of me and my family as well. And I knew just, I think that would be something that I would fit in, and being a coach and being very personable with guys. And that's what I wanted to do. So I took 2021 and 2022 off. I was completely away from the game. I actually went and worked on my best friend's ranch out in West Texas and cowboyed for 2 years. And then I was like, you know what? I promised my mom and dad I'd go back to school and graduate, and I could be a student assistant at the University of Texas, which is a very big baseball school. And it would be a great opportunity to get my coaching career started in the college game.
I have to ask, give us a day in the life while you were on the ranch.
About 5 o'clock wake up call, saddle your horse, go out and check calves, go out, check cows. I had to pull a few calves, so I am like kind of like a vet, I guess, but not really. And then you're out there all day. Some days they were shorter. Some days you were in a saddle from 7 to 7. It just depends on what your day looked like. He's on a 5,000-acre ranch, run a couple hundred head of cattle. So depending on the time of year, the season, whether their calf, he had it broke up where fall, that he had half his pastures would be fall calves and then half in the spring. So you have two opportunities to test the market when it comes time to sell. So it all just kind of depended on what time of year it was.
That's really cool, actually. Did you grow up doing that kind of stuff?
Nope. I grew up out like in the outdoors. He's my best friend for 20 years, maybe even more, probably 25 years. And this, he's had this in his, this is his fourth generation, ranch, and his mom, it's her, his mom's right now. And she, leased him the grass to put cows on, and he had never done it. And it's actually during the COVID period where we were not doing anything. And he was like, well, I got a bunch of cows. You want to come learn how to be a cowboy? Like, sure. Why not? You know? So I went, and I lived out there for a few years and learned a lot. If you watch this Yellowstone show, it's a lot similar to that, but without all the drama and the crazy stuff that they get going.
So back to your baseball career, when you were, well, I guess first, now that you're coaching, do you like recruiting, which I guess you got to do it as a college coach?
I'm getting my feet wet in that. I wasn't allowed to recruit last year just because I wasn't a full-time staff member. But I learned a lot from those guys at Texas, and then got some experience here in the coaching staff at Blinn that, you know, I've really kind of started to learn a little bit more, and I've learned, I'm not a huge social media guy, but I've learned how to use social media in recruiting, and it's a big part of getting to see guys, because you know we recruit all over the country, and you got to be able to find the needle in the haystack sometimes when it comes to kids that don't have a home yet or aren't kind of ready for the big Division One scale, but they're knocking on the door, and we want to find those and get those developed and help us win some ball games.
So who were some of the coaches that influenced you the most when you were playing in the Philly system?
Chris Truby was manager when I was there, and I actually had him for 3 straight years in Williamsport, Lakewood, and Clearwater. And he was a big part of my career, big part of helping me get to the big leagues in the sense of he pushed me. He always knew the buttons to push to get the best out of me, to get me to be the best player that I could possibly be. And he was awesome. He was a big part. John Mizorak, he was a hitting coach in Clearwater when I was there. Dusty Watham played for him in Double A, and he's now the third base coach for the big league club. Still keeping contact with him. He's a awesome guy. He's a big, I didn't play for him for very long. When I was in Reading, it was kind of a short stint there, but those some of the guys that I just are really latched on to. Two of them were catchers. So obviously that's a big part. And, but Truby, man, he pushed me. He made me mad a few times. He made me not like baseball sometimes, but he got the best out of me, and he pushed me, and he's a big reason that I got to the big leagues.
So you're with the Blue Claws here in 2011, you get to the big leagues in 2013. How did they tell you that you were going up? You were with Lehigh at the time. How did they tell you that you were going up?
So Dave Brundage was the manager in Lehigh, and it was the final year. And this story, it's one you'll never forget, one, just because of what it is, but two, it's really special to me because of how it happened. And it was the last game of the year. I had been dealing with a thumb injury that happened a week prior. He took me out of the game in the middle of the last game, and I could not understand why. And I know I'd been battling. He's like, well, I just need, you know, we need to get, I think Swami was there with me, and you need to get Swami in the game. And I was like, yes, I was a little selfish. I was like, I need to play, you know? And so the game ends, and, you know, it's the last game. So we start cleaning out our lockers, start going. And you know what's happening too with September call-ups. You understand the situation. So you start to see some guys that you kind of know are going back up to the big leagues and getting the call. They've been up and down all year. I think Jake Diekman was on that team, Justin DeFreitas. Just some guys that had been up most of the year, and whether they had to come back down for whatever reason, you knew they were going back. And then you had Sal Rendy, who's a hitting coach. He comes and grabs me, and I'm like, I've had a pretty good year, maybe. Well, it's hard to believe because I don't have any hair anymore, but I had some long hair. they call me into the office, and they ask me, like, you know, how's your thumb? How's everything going? And fine. And said, I still don't understand why you took me out of the game. Yeah, well, you know, just part of it. And Brundy's kind of just looking at me, and he kind of got this like smirk on his face. He goes, well, you're going to clean yourself up a little bit, you know, kind of chair cut, you know, season's over or whatever. And I was like, are you talking about? He goes, well, when you walk into a big league clubhouse, you don't want to be looking like that. And I was, you know, wide-eyed and super excited, shook his hand, congratulations, you know, the whole nine. But the best part of that story was is that I was able to tell my dad in person. He was at the game in Lehigh, and, right. you know, he's going to drive back to Texas with me. So he's sitting in the stands, and I kind of left him hanging for a pretty good while because I called my mom, called my brother, called my sister, called, you know, as many people as I could. And they're all asking, have you told dad? No, he's just sitting out in the stands. He'll be fine, you know, and I walked out there finally and said, hey, meet me down by the dugout. I'm about done. So he walks down to the dugout, and I was going to try to just hide it, but I couldn't. I just put my arms open and I said, I'm going to Philadelphia. Gave him a big hug, had some tears. Really special moment.
Was that a goal for you? Did you think it was going to, like, did it really catch you off guard? Or, like, did you wake up that morning planning to get driving back?
I knew I had a good year. Obviously, spending short time in Double A, moving up to Triple A, and having a pretty good year there. You know, you learn a little bit of the politics in baseball as a player, mm-hmm. as your career moves forward, and you know, you get to hear how things work. You know, I was coming up on what they call my protection year of getting put on the 40-man roster in that off season. And sometimes they do it before, or sometimes depending on where you finished and what the situation in the organization is, they'll either bring you up or they'll just wait and do it in the off season. So I knew there was small opportunity. I knew I had a good year, but I didn't know because Steve LaRude was there as well. And he had been up and down in the big leagues that year. So I didn't know if they were going to call him up or if I was going to get the opportunity, because in September, it used to be a third catcher always went. Mm-hmm. Now that the roster crunch has shrunk a little bit, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Yeah, now they only take two guys.
Yeah.
You can only go from 26 to 28. Back then, you could go as many as you wanted, up to 40.
Right. And so I didn't know. I mean, I knew there was a chance, but I didn't really know what that was going to look like.
So what do you remember about your first hit?
What, did I busted my butt? After I hit Andrew first Kashner. Base?
Yeah.
So I'd known Andrew Kashner for a long time. He's a Texas guy. Went to TCU. He was there. He's a little bit older than me, but when we were younger, we had played against each other. And he was lights out all night until about the sixth inning, I believe. And he told me, the pitcher hit back then. He told me when he stepped in the batter's box, he said, you're not getting your first one off of me. And so, obviously I'm like, I sure hope so, because I can hold that on him all for as long as time goes. And he struck me out my first two at bats, and he was absolutely nasty. But then that third at bat, it was mine. I hit about a 14 hopper down the third baseline, and I still don't think I moved as fast since then. And took a tumble after I stepped on first base, and got a pretty good reaction out of everybody, and that was pretty cool.
You hit your first home run at Yankee Stadium 2 years later in 2015, mm-hmm. off of CC Sabathia. What do you remember about that? A game you guys scored five runs in the ninth inning to win 11-6.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, Yankee Stadium is a special place, even the new one. And I don't remember a whole lot when I hit it. all I remember is I hit it into our bullpen, and it cost me a little bit of money to get that ball back. I'll never forget. Just, I think I had a shopping list of items, whether it was a new phone, an iPad. This one will be, you'll get a good laugh out of this. Jonathan Papelbon told me I couldn't get it until he got traded. There's just a lot of things that guys wanted, and I ended up having to buy, and I got the ball back, and it was cool. It was a really cool moment. Yankee Stadium, not many people get to say that. Their first homer was off a Cy Young winner.
Possible Hall of Famer.
Yeah, the guy would probably be a Hall of Famer in Yankee Stadium. That's pretty special.
A-Rod homered in the same game.
No. He had I guess my fingers weren't very good then.
So the bullpen just like banded together?
Yeah. Well,
it came up with a list of demands.
I forget who it was. Earlier in the year in Cleveland, somebody had hit a milestone home run. Like, I don't know if it was 100, 200, or whatever, but they hit it into the bullpen. Well, they held it ransom. And so after that, it became kind of a, I think when that happened, it was only a matter of time before it happened to somebody else. Because I think that list actually got became public. Somebody posted it on Twitter or whatever was social media was back then, that they had to fork it up before they could get their home run ball.
So Carlos, you played with Carlos Ruiz for a few years. Obviously Philly's legend, played for the Blue Claws actually the first year, of the team in 2001 when Legger was the manager. What do you remember about playing as a teammate with him, especially playing the same position?
Yeah. Chooch was awesome. I haven't talked to him in a little while, but we stayed in touch for several years after, even after he was done playing. Since I've been done playing, he's a good friend of mine. He mentored me, taught me a lot. He went off of feel a lot off of his pitchers. He knew his pitchers very well, and I know Roy Halladay's given him a ton of praise for when he came over and how good Chooch was and how prepared he was. And you know, that guy, he was special. He was prepared. He knew his pitchers like the back of his hand, and that's our job as catchers, is to be prepared and know our guys and put them in the best position to succeed. And he did that. He did a great job of that. He's a World Series champion. It was really special. I got to play with a lot of guys off that World Series team that were great role models. My locker was in between Ryan Howard and Chase Utley. So that was pretty neat. We'll get to the big leagues and you're right there next to those two big guys. And it was really special.
Yeah. They won the World Series. You were,
I was a freshman in college.
Freshman. Yeah.
When they won. And then, five short years later, we were all teammates.
That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild. What kinds of things did they try to teach you as a young player coming into the big leagues, for the first time?
Just how to be a pro, how to get your work in, your preparation for games, how to really understand the game at a whole nother level, how to be prepared on a whole different level. I mean, it's your job, right? In a sense, yes, you're playing a game. It's a kid's game, they say, but it's also your. And if you don't have success and you don't perform, well, just like anything else, you don't have a job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they taught me a lot about that. It just being prepared for the game, understanding guys picking up tendencies on pitchers, and knowing what else is going on around you in the game, where the ball needs to go, when it needs to be there, all just a whole lot of things that you just in the minor leagues you try to learn, but you also you're getting prepared for a game as well, and you don't have the technology that they do up there. You don't have all the computers all the time, the video, with the cameras and all that. It's not the same. And so now that you have all this technology, you got to learn how to use it and know what works for you and what works for me may not work for Chase or for Howie or whoever. So you had to learn what worked best for you. And they did a really good job of teaching you that.
I mean, nowadays they have that in the minors even here. And what kind of technology do you guys have at Blinn? I'm sure you had the all the top of the line stuff at Texas when you were there
Yeah,
last year. So
we
like how is that
have.
in, how has that improved over the last few years?
It's, I mean, it's gone up significantly. At Texas, they have that TrackMan. They have all the cameras that you could possibly need. And then here, it's kind of a similar to when I was in the minor leagues versus getting to the big leagues. Texas has everything that the big leagues had, and then here at Blinn, we've got a little bit of technology. Obviously budget's a little bit different than the big schools. We have what a similar technology to TrackMan. It's called Yakkertech, that we have installed. So we're able to get a lot of numbers off our pitchers, our hitters, and things. But we've got a little bit that can go a long way. And you learn how to use it, and you learn what guys need from it, and then you put it to the test and give it to them, and hopefully they understand what makes them really good.
Last question. What are your coaching goals?
I'd love one day to be head coach at a major Division I school, preferably Texas. That's, I bleed orange since I was in diapers. That was, I got to play there, and hopefully have the opportunity one day even go back as an assistant coach, or even possibly get the head coaching job and when that becomes available, if it comes available anytime.
You like the college, you like college better than the pros as a coach?
I think it's more to me, and it's not necessarily a knock on professional baseball, but professional baseball is a lot about development. It's not about wins and losses, and I'm a big, like, I'm a winner. I love to win. I hate losing with a passion. And I'd prefer to every game step out on the field. Not that it doesn't matter in professional baseball, but it matters a little bit more when you're representing a school on the front of your jersey. And that's important to me. And I think you grow, you teach kids the importance of winning, preparation, and then they hopefully take it to the next level.
Is this the year to get another football national title?
I hope so. I hope so.
You had
They're
a
going to
great
have a
shot
good
this year.
opportunity. They had a good opportunity this year. Unfortunately, I think Washington couldn't have played a better game.
Yeah, that was a great game.
They played as good as they played. That quarterback had the best game of his life, and he picked the right day to do it.
Cameron Rupp from the 2011 Blue Claws. Now he's at Blinn College in Texas. Thanks so much for a few minutes. Really appreciate it. And keep up the great work and best of luck. Have a great season.
Thanks, Greg. I really appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Thanks to Cameron Rupp for joining us on Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. A lot of fun to have Cameron on the show. Spring training is underway now down in Florida. Opening night at the Jersey Shore is on Friday, April the 5th. Blue Claws and Aberdeen, three-game series to kick off the season. So we'll have some spring training stuff for you over the next couple of weeks. We did talk to Cade Fergus the other day, so that'll come up early next week. Cade spent the winter in Australia playing for the Adelaide Giants and helping them win the Australia Baseball League Championship. So we'll talk about that with Cade on our next episode, and we'll get some spring training stuff up for you as well. So an exciting time of the year, baseball upon us, spring training underway down in Florida, and check out next week of Blue Claw's promo schedule coming up as well. So a lot coming up, and a lot to look forward to as baseball is back. See you April 5th. We'll talk to you next week. Kate Fergus, our next guest. Thanks to Cameron Rupp for joining us. Hook, Line, and Splitter, Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.